Okay, so we're going to learn Daf Samach Gimel in Masechtas Ksubos. However, we're going to start from four lines from the bottom of Samach Beis and Mabeis. The Gemara beforehand is going with the sugya of a Talmud Chacham. The bigger picture over here is the Mishnah is discussing how often a husband has to be with their wife. In that, the subcategory of that is a Talmud Chacham, somebody who's going to learn. So the Mishnah already told us that a Talmud Chacham could go learn without Rishus for 30 days. That's what the Mishnah said. Okay, so then the Gemara previously on Samach Beis and Mabeis was discussing various stories of an inyanim of people who went to learn Torah and with or without permission from their wives. So now at the bottom of the Gemara on Samach Beis and Mabeis, the Gemara tells us the famous story of Rabbi Akiva. So four lines from the bottom in the middle of the line. The Gemara tells us Rabbi Akiva Raya de Ben Kalba Savua Havi. He was the shepherd for Kalba Savua. So Kalba Savua, first of all, Rashi points out, was one of the four Ashirim in Eretz Yisrael. He was able to support all of Yerushalayim if necessary. He was a very, very wealthy person. It was called Kalba Savua, which means a dog that is satisfied. To say that if somebody comes in hungry, they would leave. If somebody would come in like a hungry dog, they would come in, they would leave his house full, satiated, because he would feed them so much. He was a very, very wealthy person. Alright, and Rabbi Akiva was his shepherd. Chazise Barte, the daughter of Kalba Savua, saw the Have Tznia Umali, that he was very tsanua and he was a good person. So Tosfos, of course, right away points out, because everybody knows the famous Gemara, that Rabbi Akiva said, when Rabbi Akiva was in Amma Oretz, he said, give me a Talmud Chacham and I will bite him. Sounds like Rabbi Akiva really did not appreciate who the Talmidei Chachamim were. So Tosfos says that seems like a contradiction. On the one hand, she sees that Rabbi Akiva seems to be like a great guy. And then this was talking about before he became a Talmud Chacham. This was while he was still as a shepherd. So it seems like he wasn't such a great guy. So Tosfos says, no, he really always was a good guy. He was just very offended by the way Talmidei Chachamim treated the Amoratzim. The Amoratzim didn't understand and appreciate really where the Talmidei Chachamim were coming from. For example, the classic example that Tosfos gives is that a Talmid Chacham becomes Tomei if an Amoritz touches them. So that's like, you know, ooh, they have cooties or whatever kids say, right? So that sounds like something that's very offensive. So Rabbi Akiva didn't like the Talmid Chacham, not because he didn't appreciate Torah, and not because he wasn't a good person, but because he was offended by them, because he personally at that time was an Am Haaretz. So he felt like a second-class citizen. So that's why it's not a contradiction that Rabbi Akiva didn't appreciate Talmid Chacham, while at the same time, he was still a good person. So Kalba Savua's daughter saw him. So the daughter of Kalba Savua said to Rabbi Akiva, "Imekad shana loch, if I get married to you, azos the bei rav, are you going to go to yeshiva to taka learn?" Amar lo, "In, yes, I'll go to yeshiva." Ikdeshalei b'tzina, so she got married in private. They eloped. The shadrise, and she sent him off to yeshiva. Shama avua. So her father heard about what she did. Afka mibeis, he threw her out of her house, and worse than that, odra hano minichse. He made an eder that she cannot enjoy any portion of his nechasim at all. Ozel Yosef treisrei shni b'nei rav. So Rabbi Akiva went, and he was for 12 years. He was in yeshiva. He also he was coming back now home. Aisi bahadei treisri alfei talmidei. He brought with him 12,000 talmidim over the 12 years. He became a rebbe. 12,000 talmidim. Shamei lahu sabo. He heard this old man talking. Dekamar lo, that he was talking to. He overheard this conversation, and they didn't see that he was there. And he said to her, "Ad kamo." Now I'm on the top of Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. When are you going to, how long are you willing to live as an almono, meaning a woman without a husband, even while you're alive? Your husband's alive and he's not with you. So she answered famously to him, if my husband would listen to me, Yosef Trey Sri Shni Achrina, he would go back to yeshiva for another 12 years. So Amar, remember, this is based off the sugya that we just learned about going Talmidei Chachamim going to learn either without Rishus or with Rishus. So Amar, so Rabbi Akiva concluded, Birishus ko avidna. So it seems that I'm going to learn with permission. Hadar Ozul v'Yosef Treisri Shani Achrini. He went and he sat for another 12 years b'Bei Rav in the yeshiva. He also, when he came back now after 12 years, which again is, I guess is 24 years, Aisi Bahadei Esrin Va'arba Alfe Talmidi. He brought with him 24,000 Talmidim. Shoma Devisisu, so his wife heard that he was coming. It's actually an interesting machlekes rishonim over here, whether the wife heard that Rabbi Akiva himself was coming, or possibly she heard that a Talmud Chochom was coming. She didn't even know that it was necessarily her husband. And the Gemara said she knew who it was. It also fits easier into the Gemara. So she went out to meet Rabbi Akiva. So her neighbor said to him, "Sheili mani lavush leachsi. Please borrow some nice clothing from me so that you could wear them to go and greet him in nice clothing." Amra lahu, so she said to this neighbor, Yoidei a tzaddik nefesh behemosoi. A tzaddik knows the soul of his behemoth. So it's very interesting. The Mefarshim talk about the fact that Rabbi Akiva himself was a shepherd. So the mashal of knowing the nefesh of a behemoth was because he was a shepherd, he knew his animals. And the nefesh, the reason why she says nefesh behemo is because she sent him off to yeshiva again. This is assuming that she knew it was Rabbi Akiva, but that she sent him off to yeshiva because of his ruchnius, not for the gashmius. So she said, don't worry about my gashmius, don't worry about what I'm wearing. He knows my ruchnius. He'll recognize my ruchnius. Kimoto legabe, when she finally reached Rabbi Akiva, Nafla alapa, she fell on her face. Kamenashek le lekare, and she was kissing his knees. Havikom of dachvi la shamish. So the shamish, that obviously Rabbi Akiva had a shamish, someone to take, you know, was with him. The shamish started to push her away. Amar lahu shavkuah. He's Rabbi Akiva said, leave her. Shaliv v'shalachem shalahu. What all the Torah that I have and all the Torah that you have really belongs to her. Okay, because it's because of her that I was able to shteig and become a Talmid Chacham. Shama Avua de Osa Gavra Rava. So here very clearly, her father, that's referring to Kabbalah Savua, heard that a great man was coming, Lamasa was coming to town. Now, again, obviously he didn't realize it was Rabbi Akiva. Omar, he said, Ezel Gabe, let me go to this Talmid Chacham, Efshar de Mefer Nidroi. So maybe he'll be able to be Mefer, made for my neder, so that I can give my daughter some money. Obviously, she had nothing. Also, the Kabe, so he came to Rabbi Akiva, again, didn't know who he was. Omar Le, so Rabbi Akiva says, Adaita the Gavra Rabba Minadarta. So, did you specifically make this neder that you would only be maskim that your daughter would get money if her husband was a choshev, a great guy? Amar Le, so Kabbalah Sabua answered, Afilu perek echad, even if he would learn one perek, Afilu halacha achas, even if he would learn one halacha, right? So that implies that Rabbi Akiva didn't even know that as a shepherd before he went to yeshiva. Amar Le, and his response was, even if he knew one halacha, Amar Le, so Rabbi Akiva said, Anahu, I am that person, I am Rabbi Akiva. So I learned obviously more than that. Nafal al ape, so Kabbalah Sabua fell on his face, Vinoshke al kare, and kissed his knees, Vyoev le palgum amoino, and gave Rabbi Akiva half of his property, half of his money. Okay, so again, the point of the Gemara that we see is that with Rishus, if it's done with Rishus, and it's done the correct way, then a Talmid Chacham can take a shteig. So it doesn't really matter. Doesn't really matter what the timing is if it's done collectively, with the wife. So then that is the point of the story. The Gemara then continues and says, "Barte de Rabbi Akiva, of the lay leben Azai Hachi." The daughter of Rabbi Akiva did the same thing, did the same story, similar story to Ben Azai, meaning that she sent Ben Azai off the yeshiva. Just so that you know, it's a machlekes in the Gemara whether or not Ben Azai actually got married to her. So some say that he got married to this daughter and then divorced her. Some say that they actually never got married. Maybe they only got engaged. But in any event, she also sent Ben Azai to yeshiva because Ben Azai was famous for saying, I just need Torah. I don't need anything else. So Anyway, so that's so. But she also had this idea of sending her husband off to yeshiva. And that's what people say. A sheep goes after the other sheep. Okay. Just like what a mother does, that's what the daughter does. And I guess what we would say in our English expression, we would say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree type of idea. That's the same concept that the Gemara is saying like this, that that's what she learned, that was the chinuch that she learned from her daughter. Rabbi Yosef Berei Derava, Shadrei Avu Lebei Rav. So now this is interesting. This is Rabbi Yosef. So he was, his father sent him to learn yeshiva. Shadr Avua Lebe Rav. Lekame de Rav Yosef. Right, so he sent him off to learn by Rav Yosef. Poskule Shis Shni. So he said, you should go learn in yeshiva for 6 years. Kiave tlas shni. When he was there for just three, mote male yomio, it was Erev Yom Kippur, Yom Kippura, Omar ezel v'achzina le'inche beisei. So I want to go see, after 3 years, I want to go visit my family. Shama avua, his father, meaning Ravo, shoko mono v'nofek lape, took out, as Rashi said, weapons. He took out weapons and he was gonna interfere so that he doesn't go home. Amar le zunesecha niskeres. He says, it must be that you remembered. So this is also interesting. It's a machlekes what the girsa in the Gemara over here is, whether zunesecha sounds either from the word mezoinus, that you remembered your wife, the one that you have to take care of, or some have the girsa zuga secha, so the nun would be a gimel, right, which is an easy typo. And when zuga secha means your zug, the you remembered your wife. And there are those that say, Omar le yoino secha niskeres, that you remember your yoino. Why would you refer to a wife as a yoino? Because the yoino bird, as we know from Parshas Noach, the yoino bird is true to its spouse. They only have one spouse. So you remembered your spouse. Anyway, so he was fighting, he says, oh, you remembered your spouse, that was the reason why you were trying to come home. So Itrid, and they got into a whole discussion whether or not he should go home. Loimar Ifsik, Veloimar Ifsik, and neither one of them were able to get either. So Rashi says this is referring to the Sudam Afsekes. So Rashi, that they, neither one of them, because they were fighting back and forth, neither one of them had the chance to be able to eat the Sudam Afsekes before Yom Kippur. Next Mishnah. A new topic. Hamoy Redes. A woman who doesn't do what she's supposed to do in her marriage. We'll discuss in the Gemara what exactly she's not doing, but she's not doing what she's supposed to be doing towards her husband. Hamaredes al bala, that she's going against her husband. So what do we do over here? Poich sin lo miksubasa shiva dinrin b'shabbos. So again, we're going to see in the Gemara a slightly different version, but the Mishnah says that every week that she does not behave, she loses 7 dinar value out of her ksuba. We reduce the value of her ksuba by 7 dinar. Rabbi Yehuda Omer shiva tarpikin, and the Rabbi Yehuda says 7 tarpikin, which is a lesser amount. We'll see in the Gemara what the difference is. It's a bigger amount. Sorry. Okay. All right. We'll see. It's a bigger amount. You're right. Ad masahu poiches. Now, how long do you continue with this devaluation? Ad kenege ksuboso, until you get eventually to the value of her ksubo. Once you reach the value of her ksubo, so there's also interesting machlekes, whether at that point the husband has to divorce her, or may divorce her without her ksuba, but the point is that she has no value in her ksuba anymore. They don't have to maintain that marriage. Rabbi Yosi Yomer, lo'olam u'poiches v'hoylech, you keep on going even after you reach the value of her ksuba. You keep on going ad until she'im tipalo yerusha mimokam acher, that if she gets property from someplace else, goyve heimena, the husband can then take that property from her. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yossi's shita that you can even go beyond the value of the ksuba. V'chein ha-moirid al ishtoi, and the same thing is true, the opposite, if the husband is not performing what he is supposed to do, his obligations towards his wife, which Tosfos says means the sherek susanai, no? Moisifin al ksubasa shloisha dinrin b'shabbos, then she gets added to the value of her ksuba three dinner every week. Rabbi Yehuda Omer shloisha tarpikin, again Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasa says that it's not three dinner, rather it's three tarpikin. Okay, so we have the concept of her going against the husband and him going, and the husband going against the wife. That's what the Mishnah is dealing with. Now, let's define what is she doing wrong. Myredes mimai. What is she rebelling against? That's the first Gemara's question. So Rav Huna Omar, Mitashma Shamita. Very simple. She refuses to be with him. Tashma Shamita. Rav Yosi, Rav Chanina Omar, Mimalocha. She's not performing the requirements that we learned in the previous Mishnah that a wife is supposed to do, whether it's the cooking, making the bed, whatever it is, those things that she's supposed to do. Refusing to do those things entitles the husband to reduce the value of her ksuba. Tanan, but we also learned in a Mishnah like this, V'chein ha-moirid al-ishtoi, that the husband is also similarly not doing those things to or for his wife. So now, Bishlam l'mandi yamar matashmish l'chai. If we're talking about tashmish l'mito, so then that makes sense, right? The same way she could refuse tashmish from him, he could refuse tashmish from her. So obviously the comparison is the same. El l'mandi yamar mimalocha mimeshubad la. If you're talking about malacha, so the type of things that she does, performs for her husband, as we said, let's say, cooking or something like that, is not something that he's meshubed, so it's not equal. It's not a fair exchange. So the Gemara answers, yes, in ba'omer einay zon ve'einay mefarnes. He has obligations to her, which is that he's not going to give her money, he's not going to feed her, and he's not going to give her parnasa. Parnasa includes more than just food. It includes, you know, giving her the support that she needs and whatever it is that she needs to take care of herself. So if that's what the husband refuses, then the husband is refusing his obligations towards her. Now, the Gemara says, "Va'amar Rav, ha'imer ain't a zon ve'ainim mefarnes yoytziv yitin ksuba v'loy v'lav lam luchei ba'ay." Sorry, yoytziv yitin ksuba. We say that it's not. We're saying that that's what the husband is doing wrong. He's being moirid on his wife. He's not supporting her. So it sounds like, based on our Mishnah, that this is a process over the course of time. We continue to, so to speak, motivate him by charging him money that he has to support her. But here we seem to see that if he's not supporting his wife, he immediately has to divorce her right away. So the Gemara says, not immediate. Don't you have to ask him? So that means, basically, they both are saying the same thing. That you have to give a ksuba, but first you give the guy an opportunity to cure and say, behave, do what you're supposed to do. And then, Anachanami, if he says, no, I'm not doing what I'm supposed to do, then Bezin can right away say, okay, you know, we're not going to just keep this process going that he has to pay more and more and more. Otherwise, if he's going to refuse to divorce, so really the numbers are meaningless. So it must be that eventually Bezin is able to get involved and say, okay, it's time to get a divorce. Okay, so we said so far, that the moirid that the wife is doing is either tashmish or the household, the chores. So meisvei, so the Gemara has a contradiction. Achas li arusa v'nesua. Whether we're talking about they're still engaged or even if they're married, v'afilu nida, and even if she is at the moment a nida, v'afilu choyla, or she's sick and she just can't, v'afilu shemeres yavam, and she. And also, even if they're yavam, they're not even married yet, and she's waiting to do yivam to the brother, but they're like in this limbo stage, and she's quote unquote moirid. That also can constitute a moiredes. Now,
how can she be
moirid to a yavam? So again, so that's the answer. The Gemara is going to answer this kasha. When she says, I am not doing it, even though they're not really, she's not obligated to do anything at the moment, but the fact that she makes a statement saying, I'm not doing it, that's going to be the Gemara's answer. Okay? Now, Rashi apparently, it's difficult to tell whether Rashi has the girsa of these parentheses. We'll read the parentheses, but we'll But it's based on Rashi. It seems like Rashi does not have this girsa. So Bishlam Elamandi Amar Mimelacha Shaper. So if you're talking about that she's refusing to do what she's supposed, the household chores, I understand that this Mishnah makes sense, that it could even be while she's a nida, even when she's sick, she should be doing her chores. Elamandi Amar Mitashmish Nida Bas Tashmishi. What do you mean she's refusing to do? She can't have Tashmish anyway. She's a nida. It's Aser. It's not like her refusal. So Amar Loch. So the answer to that is, right? So we say there's a difference between somebody who knows that it's available and it's just it's just not at the moment, versus somebody who doesn't have. We've seen this muscle in the Gemara many times already, where basically knowing that it's available, even if you're not using it at the moment, gives you the satisfaction of knowing that you're okay. So the problem here is, when she's a nida, okay, fine, I'll just wait for her to be in, finish the nidus, and then we'll be back together again, he can handle it. But the moment she says, absolutely not, I refuse, has nothing to do with being a nida, she's just eliminating her of that possibility. So now it creates a rift in the relationship that can't be cured, and therefore needs to be either punished with money or eventually divorced. Okay, the Gemara says a similar type of thing. Ikeda Amri. So again, I'm not sure whether Rashi has the skirsa or not, but the Ikeda Amri, the next version of the Gemara is Ikeda Amri. Let's learn the other version of the Gemara. Bishloim elamandi Amri mitashmish hanu diktani choylo. So I understand why it's considered a refusal when you're dealing with Tashmish, because it says that she's sick. So the way Rashi learns is that even though she's sick, she technically could still do. She could still do the Tashmish. She's sick in a way that Tashmish would still be normal. But now on the top of Samach Gimel Amud Beis, El Leman Diyamer Mimelacha. But if you're talking about that she has to do the household chores, Choylo Bas Melacha Hi. I mean, how is she supposed to, like, she has a fever in bed. How exactly is she supposed to be getting up in the morning to cook? You know, that doesn't make sense. So the Gemara says like this. You're right. Of course, if she refuses and says, I don't want to be with your husband, that's what a marriage is all about. If she doesn't want to be with the husband, so then, yeah, everybody agrees that that's clearly going against the marriage. They're only arguing about whether refusal to do certain jobs in the house, whether that also constitutes a meredes and, you know, docks her from her ksuba and ultimately ends in a divorce. Marsava Mimalocha Loyavi Mayrades. So very simple, just because she refuses to do Malocha, that's not considered really going against the marriage. Umarsava Mimalocha Nami Havi Mayrades. And the other Shita holds, the one that explains. The other Shita, by the way, is Reb Yosef Reb Chanino. He says that simply refusing to do her household chores and do what she's supposed to do in the house, that is considered also, I read this, that is also considered undermining the marriage, and therefore gets the ksuba is reduced. Okay, now the Gemara continues. Gufa, hamayredes al balo. If a woman is not doing, is going against her husband, peichsin lo mi ksuba, we dock from her ksuba shiva dinrim b'shabes seven dinner a week. And Rabbi Yehuda omer shiva tarpikin, and he says seven tarpikin a week. Okay, but now we have a third shita which was not mentioned in our Mishnah. This brisa says Rabbi Seinu. Chozer v'nimnu. Rabbi Seinu went back and they counted to see what the Talmid Chachamim really think about this, and they said like this: Shiyu machrizin aleha arba shabbos zu achar zu. We announce this in shul that she's refusing to be with her husband for 4 weeks, four consecutive weeks. The shulchan law. Bezdin, and then Bezdin sends her a message, have a yoidas, you should know. Sha'afilu ksubosech mea mana. Even if your ksuba is worth 100 mana, which is a lot more, which is going to take a lot more than 4 weeks, if sadata, you lost it. Basically, according to these chachamim, we'll see, the Gemara is going to explain a little bit more, but we give her a warning. She does not heed the warning. We don't wait for the dollar amounts to actually add up to exactly the value of the ksuba. We don't really dock $1 at a time. We say at this, you have four chances. After four chances, you're done. Achas li arusa v'nesua, whether she's actually married or not. Afilu nida, as we explained, even if she's a nida, the fact that she's saying that she refuses. Vafilu choylo, vafilu shemeres yavam, and even if she's just in the yibam situation, the point is she's she's verbally saying that I'm not going to do it, and we understand from her actions and from what her body language that she's refusing to be with her husband. That Besdin says you have four chances to reconcile. If you can't reconcile after four weeks, I should say. So far, the Gemara just said 4 weeks. If you can't reconcile after 4 weeks, then that's it. You're done. However, now the Gemara explains, Amalei Rav Chiya Bar Yosef to Shmuel. So Rav Chiya Bar Yosef said to Shmuel, Nida Bas Tashmashi. Oh, so now he goes to the basic question. So this is the way Rashi learns. This is the way the Gemara really deals with that other Gemara that we had in the parentheses. So what do you mean? She's refusing to be with Tashmish. She's a Nida. So again, the Gemara gives the same teretz. Amalei Ein Adam Mishi Yesh Loi Pas Pesali Lemisha Ein Loi Pas Pesali. You can't compare somebody who does have bread in the basket versus someone who doesn't have bread in the basket. The mashal, of course, is if you have food, but you're just, not eating at the moment, so it doesn't bother you. Whereas if you're fasting and you don't have food, then the fact that you don't have food is much more bothersome. And the same thing is true. The fact that she's a Nida doesn't technically bother the husband per se. But if she says, I will not be with you regardless, even if I'm available, I'm still not doing it. So then, Anachanami, that's mean, and that's my redness, that's rebellious, and then that reduces the ksuba. Now, let's get back to the explanation of the Chachamim that they say you get four weeks. So, Amri Rama Bar Chama, Ein Machrizin Alel, Ela Babotik Nasiyas Ubatim Midrashas. We only do this. We make this announcement about her in shul, in the base knesses and in the base medrash. Amar Rava Dekanami, and I'll prove it to you that that's where the announcements are made. Diktani Arba Shabbosois Zuachazu. We say four Shabbos is Dafka. So the Gemara says, Shmami, no, that's a good proof. Because why Shabbos? What's the significance of Shabbos when you make an announcement? Because that's where everybody comes together. But where does everybody come together? If you're talking about on Shabbos, people aren't getting together in the park. They're getting together in shul, in the base medrash. That's where people are. So that's where the announcements are going to be made. Okay. Now, Amar Rami Bar Chama, Pa'amayim Sholchan La Mibezdin. We send this warning to her. We make this announcement and we send the warning to her twice. Achas Koidim Achrozo, Va'achas La'achar Achrozo. Once before they make the announcement, they say, you better shape up or we're going to make this announcement, or after they make the announcement. So once again, there's a machlekes in the Mefarshim, whether it's a warning before each and every one announcement, or is it once in the beginning of the, because it's four announcements. The question is, are you sending her this message eight times, once before and once after each announcement? Or do you send her before and say, we're going to announce, and that's enough of a warning, and then the next 4 weeks you just go ahead and announce, and then after the all 4 weeks you say, okay, too little, too late. So this is, you can go either way with this one. Okay. Darish Rav Nachman Bar Rav Chista Halacha K'Rav Seinu. Oh, so that's how we paskin. Meaning not like what our Mishnah says, which is that you do seven dinner at a time. Rather, we just give her four weeks, and after those 4 weeks, we're done. Amar Rava, hi, Burcha. So Rava says, this is not proper. So the question is, also again, Rashi's not clear. Rashi just says, this is inappropriate. Now, what's the this? This is inappropriate. What's inappropriate? Is it inappropriate to do what the Chachamim are saying, which is 4 weeks is not enough of a chance? Or does Rava mean it's inappropriate to paskin like the Rabbi Seinu, who are not even mentioned in our Mishnah? So there's two different ways to learn what Rava was picking up on. Anyway, but either way, it's inappropriate to do this. Ultimately, whether it's the Chachamim or to do the 4 weeks. So Amar Lei Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchok, my Baruch Hu say? What's so bad about this? I know I'm Risa Nehile. I repeated this. Umishmei de Gavra Rabba, I'm Risa Nehile. And I said it in the name of a great person. Umana Rabbi Yosef Rab Chanina. And I said it, and I quoted Rabbi Yosef Rab Chanina. Okay, fine. So obviously, it's not coming out of nowhere. This is a real opinion. The EU command Savar, and who does Rab Yosef Rab Chanina hold like? Kiha, the Itmar, like that which we learned. Rabba. Fine. That Rava said in the name of Rav Sheshes, Halacha Nimlochin Ba. The halacha is we talk to her beforehand. So we see this concept. So we see that we do warn her ahead of time and tell her not to behave this way. Rav Huda, Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav Sheshes, Halacha Ein Nimlochin Ba. The halacha is that we don't ask her. So again, depending on how you learn pshat in the Gemara, we don't, in other words, we don't warn her beforehand. So the not warning beforehand could mean either this business of giving her the warning is just not enough. But either way, when he says, ein halacha nimlochin ba, what it means to say is that we don't paskin like the chachamim over here, that we just give her four warnings and that's enough. We rather, we go with the reduction of the ksuba slowly over time and we see what happens. That, so to speak, she can change her ways in the middle. Now, what's the process? So, hechi damya mayredes. What exactly is she saying? What, how does this happen? Amar Ameymar, so Ameymar says, the Amra be'inan lay, I like him as a husband. I want to be with him as a husband. Umitzarna lay, but I want to give him, I want to make it difficult for him. That is a mayredes. When she says, it's not him, but I mean, I want to be married, but I want to make his life miserable. That's a mayredes. That's going against her husband. Aval Umra moyus alay, but if she says, I just can't stand being with him, I don't want to be in this marriage, loy kafinan la, then we don't force her. Meaning, we don't, that's not considered a mayredes. We don't force her. So again, a question over here, what does that mean? We don't force her. But stamazoi, we don't force her to stay married, stay in that marriage at all. She wants out of the marriage, she's allowed to get out of the marriage. Obviously, the husband has to give her the get, and so on and so forth, but we allow her to get out of the marriage right away. So, marzucho amar kaifinan lo, he says that even in that case, we do force her. Meaning, just because she says, I don't want to be with him anymore, she doesn't get to control the situation. Have a uvda. So there was a story like this where she said, I find him horrible. The achve marzutra, and marzutra forced her, meaning forced her actually. So here, he forced her to stay married and say, work it out. Says, even though she said, so that's what kaifina law means. We force her to stay married. He forced her to stay married. And we see that because he forced them, even though she said, I don't want to be with him at all, it ended up they had a Reb Chanina Misura who was a huge Talmid Chacham. However, the Gemara says, Veloihi, that's not really the normal case. Hasam Siyata Dishmaya, there was a special Siyata Dishmaya over there that Reb Chanina Misura was born. But typically, if she doesn't want to be with her husband, it's not going to have a positive or a good result. So you can't, in other words, the Gemara is saying, you cannot, if a wife is disgusted by her husband, you can't force her to stay with her husband. Kalsay de Rav Zvid Imrida, so the daughter-in-law of Rav Zvid was a Mayreda, she went against her husband. Have a tafisa chad shira. She had a piece of silk, she had something, an expensive item that she was holding in her possession. Now the issue over here is that when a woman is a Mayredes, she goes against her husband, so she loses her ksuba. She doesn't have the right to take anything out of the marriage. But she already had in her possession, she had this expensive item. Yosef Amemar Marzutra V'Ravashi, so they were sitting together. Yosef Rav Gamda Gabayu, Rav Gamda was with them. Yosvi V'Kamri, they were sitting and discussing this. Morda Hifsida V'Loisa V'Loisa Kayomen. If she's a Maredes, she loses even the worn-out clothing that she has. Even what she has, what she already has in her possession, we take that away from her. Amaluhu Rav Gamda, so Rav Gamda said, Mishum to Rav Zvid, in the name of Rav Zvid, Gabra Rabba Machnifosoi Lei. This is, because he's a Gabra Rabba, meaning because it's Rav Zvid, and you're trying to protect Rav Zvid, you're trying to appease him. You're just saying that halacha to make him feel better that he's able to take that expensive item. V'amar Rav Kahana, mi boi Rava, v'loi poshit, because Rav Kahana asked this question, Rav Kahana said that Rava asked this question, and we never really answered the question whether we go, it's one thing to say that she loses her ksuba, but we never discuss the fact that you're able to take things away from what she already has. It's one thing to say, we're not going to give her anything, we're not going to pay anything, but to take things away from her, that was never discussed. So by the fact that you're paskening, that you get to take it away from her, you're just making Rav Zvid happy. Ikadami, there's another version, Yosef Ka Amroi, they were again discussing the same topic, Marda, Loyev Situ Belosa Kayamen. They don't take away, so they said, they paskin, that we're not going to take away things that she already has. Rav Gamda, and on that Rav Gamda responded the other way around. Now on the top of Samach Dalad Amud Aleph, we're going to learn a few lines here just to finish the sugya. Mishum Rav Zvid, and Rav Gamda was saying in the name of Rav Zvid, Gavra Rabba Have Ichvisu Le Ledina. Eliyahu, that because he's a great person, so now you're going against him, because you're saying, oh, he's such a choshev guy, he can handle it. So now all of a sudden you're paskening against him. Ha'amar Rav Kana. Rav Kana similarly said, Miboy boy le Rav. Rav asked us a question, but Poshet and never answered. So again, the same idea over here, where the Gemara is saying, there's just two different versions to the story. Either they paskened in his favor, and Rav Gamda was like, oh, you're just trying to appease him. Or they paskened against him and saying, oh, you're just paskening against him because you think he can handle it. That's the easy way out. It's not an easy way out. We never really answered the question one way or the other. So the Gemara now, again, I'm going to do a few more lines. I'm going to do another three lines here, four lines. So the Gemara says, "Hashtu the loyitmer loy hachi b'loy hachi." Lamaisa, we don't know the answer. Rova asked it as a question, and we have stories that go both ways, whether or not we take stuff away. So the halacha is, the bottom line is like this: Tafsa loy mafkina mino. If she already took it, she has it in her possession, we don't take it away from her. Loy tafsa loy avina lo. But what she doesn't have, we don't give her. Okay, and then to finish off the sugya, so what do we paskin in terms of how much time we give her to rectify the situation? And the Gemara says, "Mashinan lo treisa yarchishosa agito." We give her 12 months before we give the get. Ubahanach treisa yarchishosa less lo mezoinim ibal. But during those 12 months, she doesn't have to be supported. Meaning, we give her 12 months to say, "Okay, I take back what I said, and I'm going to behave," but. And then if after 12 months she's still holding with her position that she refuses to be with her husband or do what she's supposed to do, so then Anachanami, at that point the husband is able to give her a get with nothing. But the point is that during those 12 months, it's not that we keep her for 12 months and the husband has to support her. During those 12 months, she's not entitled to keep anything. We're going to stop over here.